I appreciate all the work that was done even prior to my arriving. Some of the pictures that we brought with us are you all, some of you possibly, getting the center ready for the service there, moving things and setting everything up. It's a blessing. I walked in after the fact, after the hard work was done, and I appreciate it. I appreciate this church and their desire to see things happen for the cause of Christ. There are churches across the nation that don't feel quite that way, and it's sad. But a church like this makes a difference, a great difference in lives. And we're thankful. I go through the cards that you gained from walking all those streets, and I find names of folks that have been saved, names of folks that have been visited. I've written letters and tried to encourage from your work. I didn't have to go get the names, and I appreciate your hard work. I appreciate your pastor. He's taken well care of us. We came in December and met you all and come back now for this Founders Conference, and you all take good care of us, and I thank you. I thank this church and all that you've done for my wife, myself, and my son. It's been a blessing to be here. I told my wife this afternoon, after the service this morning, we had a fine meal with you all here. We went back to the lodging there, and I slept a little and studied a little and slept a little more. And I told my wife, I said, I kind of feel guilty. I'm not working. I'm not doing something. But that's going to come when we hit the ground running when we get back home. But I do appreciate all you've done for us. You don't know. And the name, the home place, I feel at home. I feel at home. Your kindness and your goodness to us really makes a big difference. And coming into this place, it makes it easy to preach. Easy to preach. So we're thankful for that. Open your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter number 15, as the pastor has said. I will delve back into the Old Testament a little bit to show you something, but we will go through John. This chapter was given by Christ. I say this chapter, these words were given by Christ as he walked with his disciples towards Gethsemane. If you wanted to divide it, you could divide it into three sections very easily. John chapter number 15, verses 1 through 8 is the abiding in Christ. The second section is the affection of Christ, verses 9 through 17. And the last section is 18 through 27, verses 18 through 27, the animosity towards Christ. I stopped and I looked at this chapter, and I told Brother Sears prior to the service, I did as some other preachers have done here, preached this to my church up there prior to coming here, but I'll be very honest with you, I threw that one out. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. But God gave me something new and fresh, and as Brother Sears said, fresh bread's always good, always good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and your kindness. I thank you now for the opportunity to stand before this great crowd of people. And Lord, I pray that something will be said or done here in this hour that would encourage their hearts, to cause them to love you more, love the Word of God more, and to serve you more. Father, I thank you for allowing me the privilege of standing here and giving the Word of God. Father, I just pray that nothing I would say would be harmful, hurtful, but helpful. How blessed we ask in Christ's name. Amen. John chapter number 15, verse number 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. I read this and read this and read this. My wife can tell you I spent many hours in the study there in the home just trying to grasp what has been said here. And I got to looking at it, and I said, I'm simple in my thoughts, so you'll have to bear with me. I looked at that first verse and I said, this lays it out very, very plainly. Jesus said, He is the vine. He said, His Father is the husbandman. You and I are branches. Verse number 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. When we look at this, he says, we're the branches there in verse number 5. Ye are clean through the word which he has spoken unto us. He's talking about saved people. Now, when we're saved eternally, as we heard this morning very plainly. We're saved. We cannot lose our salvation. But you know, Satan wants you to doubt your salvation. He's the accuser of the brethren. He'll slip up behind you and tap you on the shoulder and say, if you was really saved, would you do that? Would you have that thought? Would you say that word? Would you become angry if you were really saved? He wants you to doubt. Because if he can cause you to doubt your salvation, he'll cause you to stop praying. If he can cause you to doubt your salvation, you'll stop reading your Bible. And you know, those are the first two things that go out of a Christian's life. You come to church and everybody sees you and we have a facade. We come in and we're smiling. We got a big black back Bible with us and everybody thinks everything's grand. But when we go home and close the door, we don't pray, we don't read, we don't get into the Word of God. Nobody sees that. If we miss church, the preacher comes or the deacon or the Sunday school teacher. But they never come when you stop reading your Bible or stop praying. Satan wants to stop you dead in your tracks. He can't touch your salvation. You're saved, secure in Christ Jesus. He said, you're in my hand and I am my Father's hand. No man can get to you. You're saved. You're born again. Born into the family of God. But he can stop you dead in your tracks from serving, from growing, from being anything for the cause of Christ. We're saved. Satan wants to stop you. He wants you to lose your testimony. Verse number 6 there, he says, if any bad man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. You lose your testimony. You lose your influence over those around you. How many sons or daughters can say, well, my dad went to church, my mom went to church, but when we came home, it wasn't that way. That's sad, isn't it? Friend, if we lose our influence, Satan has gained ground. If we lose our ability to cause others to come to Christ, we're leaving out the most important thing, and that's bringing people into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. Now, let's talk about abiding. I wanted to define that. I said, I want to look it up. So I looked it up, and I wrote down the definition. It means to dwell. It means to rest, continue, stand firm, to stay. I went back in the Word of God and I found a word that corresponds to this abide here. And it was used in Genesis chapter number 29 and verse number 19. When Laban said to Jacob, he said, abide with me and you can have Rachel. Stay right here with me and I will see that you are able to marry my daughter. So abiding is staying with Christ. Abiding is living right there with him 24/7. Not just Sunday morning, not just Sunday night, just not Wednesday night or Thursday night or Tuesday night in our case. Abiding is 24/7. Getting up in the morning, knowing Christ is there. Going to bed at night, knowing Christ is there. Knowing Christ is there in the middle of the night when you wake. How many times have you woke up and felt the need to pray? Or God touched your heart and gave you a thought? He's still there, isn't he? Abiding with Christ. So to abide with Christ is to stay with him continuously. Now then, notice this. if we don't read His Word, we're not abiding with Him. He speaks to us through His Word. If we don't pray, we don't speak to Him. It'd be horrible to go home tonight and have your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your son, or your daughter never speak to you, walk past you in the hallway, sit down at the dinner table, finish your dinner, get up and leave, never a word spoken. Listen, friend, we need to abide with Christ. We need to pray. We need to meditate in the Word of God. God cannot influence us. God cannot cause us to become what we should for Him. Cannot, if I may, grow us into a Christ-likeness if we don't abide with Him. He wants us to be Christ-like. We need to abide to bring forth any resemblance of Christ in our lives. We need to continue with the prayer and the Bible reading and the Bible study and the preaching and the meditation and the things of God. If we stop, we're walking away from the one that's going to cause us to be more like Christ. And that's your goal, isn't it? That's my goal. We want to be more Christ-like in our life. If we abide, then we will bring forth fruit, as it says in verse number 5. You'll bring forth much fruit. Without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, we may go through the motions, saved, yes, never to lose our salvation. But growing, being able to produce fruit. I once thought, when I first read this years ago, I thought, well, the fruit of a Christian is another Christian, and that is right. But it's God that giveth the increase. It's God that gives the increase. We may sow the seed, as Paul said. We may water it, and we may be allowed at times to reap. But it's God that gives the increase. So when we look at this, we're talking about our fruit, our fruit of grace, of conduct, deportment, and attitude. You know, so many times you run across people that are just down in the mouth. Now, I don't look user-friendly. If I don't smile, I really don't look user-friendly. I've been told many times I look mean. I look intimidating. And it's not because I want to be, not at all. But friend, so many people don't have the attitude, don't have the grace, don't have the conduct or deportment of being used of God. Listen, we need to make sure that we are, if I may, bathing ourselves daily in the things of God, that we might be used of God, we might be user-friendly. I meet a lot of people in the part-time job I've got. And so many times, I meet people that are just really down. And I'm able to do something for them as we walk from the store to their automobile. I'm able to talk with them and share something with them. One lady told me, she says, I appreciate a friendly face. That was a compliment to me because I don't have a friendly face. I really don't. But it wasn't so much the face as it was the Christ-like character that I was able to display because I'd been in the Word of God that day. It was God that did that. It wasn't Dan Davis. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 11 says, the fruit of righteousness is our good behavior. We suffer chastisement to bring about good behavior. Friend, when we spend time in the Word of God, when we spend time with Christ, when we spend time in prayer, we spend time meditating on the Word of God, thinking about what God has said to us as we opened our Bible that morning and prepared for the day, as we spend time with Him, He's able to do something for us throughout the day that causes others to see Christ in us. You remember the scripture that says they took note of them because they'd been with Jesus? That's what we need, isn't it? We need to spend time with Christ. Have that attitude, have that deportment, have that grace in our lives that we might help someone else. Now, I'm not talking about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. The fruit of the Spirit is faith, meekness, temperance. How do we separate the fruit of the Spirit from our fruit? I don't think you can. Because the Spirit, as He blends with us, if I may, His fruit, what He produces in us, comes because of what we do in the Word of God and what we do in meditation and prayer. The Spirit begins to control us. Our fruit is the grace and the conduct. Our fruit. We are Christ-like. I think about what we need every day. You know, so many times we face things that would rob us of the joy that God wants us to have. I looked at Ephesians chapter number 4. If I may read to you from there, Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye might put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for ye are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down in your wrath, neither give place to the devil. You see, friend, we need to be renewed day by day. We need that charge in our spiritual batteries in order for us to be what we should be as we seek to represent Christ in this world. We need to be Christ-like. We need to do what God wants us to. And if we are not renewed, if we're not living in Christ, we're not abiding in Christ, then we can't do it. Who do we abide in? We abide in self. Turn back with me, if you will, to Hosea chapter number 10. Now, once again, friend, this is Old Testament. He's talking about Israel. I understand that. But he gives us an illustration here in the Word of God that is likened unto what we're talking about in the New Testament. Hosea chapter 10 and verse number 1, it says, Israel is an empty vine. Now, we're the branches. Christ is the vine. We understand that. He's saying, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made God goodly images. What they're saying about Israel here, Israel has become turned in, if I may. They're empty. It says there that they have increased the altars. This is not the altars of God. This is the altars to other gods, if I may, other entities. And the last part there, it says they have made goodly images or statues. If you'll read that section, you'll find that those statues began to control their life. Listen, friend, we need Christ to keep us on the right track, going in the right direction every day. For us not to do that, friend, we're going to have a divided heart. That old carnal nature that we heard about this morning is going to pull us in one direction. We need the Spirit of God to pull us in the right direction. We need the Spirit of God to give us that thought, that idea, that discernment that we might be able to help those around us. You know people right now, and if I ask you to raise your hand, probably every hand in this building would go up saying, yes, I know somebody that needs to hear from Christ. I know somebody that needs the encouragement that comes in Christ Jesus. I know somebody that needs salvation provided by Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. You see, friend, we stand in a very precarious place. We stand in a place where we can help others come to know Christ as their Savior encourage them in their spiritual walk after they are saved, and cause them to be more useful in God's hand, more pleasing in His sight, as we are more pleasing in His sight and more useful in His hand. What a thought. Too many times we produce fruit unto ourselves. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Peter didn't know his own heart when he stood and he said, "Not me, Lord, I'll never forsake you." If Peter, who walked with Christ, went further into the garden with Christ than anyone else, if Peter, who was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Christ, could be that way, not knowing his own heart, how much more you and I, especially if we forget to get in the Word of God and spend time with God in prayer. "In me, in my flesh," Paul said, "dwelleth no good thing." We've got a bent in the wrong direction, don't we? We're born with that. It's not something that comes just because we hung with the wrong people. It comes because we're born with it. Listen, friend, the Scripture tells us, and the same principle applies, a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. Listen, friend, if we leave off the things of God, it's going to be shameful. If we leave off communing with Christ, if we leave off spending time in prayer and Bible and hearing and meditating, friend, it'll be shameful. He said there in the verse, he said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Many times we run around in big circles and stir up a lot of dust, but are we doing anything for Christ? He said, "Abide in me." Abide in me. Listen, we need to spend more time in the Word of God. We need to set apart that time where we can stop and sit down and say, "I'm going to spend this time with Christ." Have you ever stopped and said, "I'm just going to pray and thank God for what He's done"? No request, just thanking for what He's done. Have you ever stopped and said, "I want to spend time with Jesus," and just sat down on the front porch or wherever you can get alone and say, "Lord, I'm here. I want to spend time with You"? Not complaining, not questioning, not trying to get from, but just spending time with Jesus. He wants to abide with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to give to us the things of God. We cannot serve two masters. You love one and hate the other. How much do you love Jesus? How much do we really love Jesus? I have to stop and say it's so busy. In the last few months, we have moved in January, and about 3 weeks ago, we moved the church, moved our home, set up again. And in all that time, all the getting settled and all the trying to work things out, I had to stop and say, "Have I said anything to Christ today? Have I spent any time with Him? Quality time, as we call it? Or have I run in and said, 'Lord, I need this, this, and this,' and run back out?" You see, friend, He wants to spend time with us. I think about the two men on the road to Emmaus when they walked and they said, "Did not our heart burn within us as He shared with us the Scriptures? He opened the Scriptures unto us and helped us understand." When's the last time your heart burned within you as you studied your Bible? When's the last time that you were excited about being able to be in Bible study, being able to pull out the Word of God and spend time figuring it out, letting God speak to your heart? When's the last time? "Abide in me and I in you." And you notice the progression there. You bear fruit. You bear more fruit. Verse number 2. Verse number 5, you bear much fruit. God wants you to be productive for Him. God wants you to give the very best for others. But we can't give the very best unless we get it from Him. We've got to get it from Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this evening for Your love and Your kindness. And I thank You for these things that You've given us. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to be more what we should be. Lord, we fail so many times, so many ways. I pray that you'd encourage our hearts. Help us to be more faithful in the things of God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you for loving us in spite of ourselves. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Now bless, we ask, in Christ's name.